Hello, everyone. This is Sienna Gold. This is Down to Earth. We haven't been here in a while. I'm here with Pam Davis and the Mystery Engineer. Hey, Pam, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Gosh. Yeah. Wow. Power outages. Yikes. Yeah. That's just, I understand them. But boy, are they difficult to deal with if you don't have a generator or this or that. I wind up staying at friends' places and yeah, it's pretty rough. So hello, everyone. It's good to be back. It's been a couple of months now, I think. And so we were talking a little bit about what to talk about. I've had a really difficult couple of months, possibly the hardest that I've had in my life. Pam was talking about the possibility of doing a show today about discrimination. And I was actually thinking about talking through what it is that I've experienced over the last couple of months, how it's impacted me. And I think that they can actually sort of work together. So let's start off with your subject, Pam.
All right. I wanted to talk about how discrimination makes us feel, how we relate to the fact that we have in many different ways been discriminated against. I, for one, back in the 50s and 60s when I was young, women were heavily discriminated against. There was not equal pay. There was not jobs available. If a male could have it, then they would get it first. I got into college because the Vietnam War was going on. Women were at the bottom of the list for getting into college in those days. And so because all the men were in Vietnam, the colleges opened up and were accepting more women. So I noticed that sometimes it does make me feel even a little angry that people would be treated unequally, I guess.
Well, you know, it actually, as you're talking, it actually does fit into what it is that I wanted to talk about. But I hadn't framed it, what I experienced that way, until you just started talking just now. You know, I think we're discriminated against as children. I think that the discrimination shows its face in my world as I was so little. And my father used that against me, basically. You know, our parents use that against you. It's kind of stretching it a little bit with the discrimination, but it's still being treated. I should look up discrimination. It's still being treated. Anybody who wants to look up discrimination for me, give me a call. It's up for us. It's 530-265-9555. Again, 530-265-9555 if you want to call in about this or anything that you'd like to talk about. But yeah, being treated in a lesser fashion is the way I see discrimination. What happened to me was, as you all know, I haven't been here in a while. I was hit with a surprise, we're selling your house experience. I really had wanted to mention this. The way that it felt, the way that it seemed, was that the realtor had come into our neighborhood and had listed another house in the neighborhood, came into the neighborhood canvassing for more listings, found out that I was renting, and started calling my landlords for a year until they decided that, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. We're going to sell, which really was upsetting for me because for the realtor's gain, I had to leave my home of 6 years. I haven't left yet. Where the discrimination comes in, and that's not where the discrimination comes in. I just think that's greed, which I'd like to talk about as well at some point. The discrimination has to do with the way that I was treated. My landlord, I did find another house, and the other house, the landlord for the other house, I feel was discriminatory in that he was the landlord and I was the tenant. And because he was kind of the overlord, the way that he spoke to me, the way that he treated me was not okay. I talked with people who knew him, relatives who knew him, and mentioned what it was that I was experiencing. And they said, geez, he's never talked to me that way, which made it even worse. So at the end of the day, I had put in my deposit, started moving things into the place. I actually put a new floor in to the place because it needed, he had taken out the carpeting, and I said I would put the new flooring in, which I did. And because of the repeated abusive behavior from him, the cruelty, talking down to me, discriminatory. I don't think it had anything to do with race. It doesn't feel like it had anything to do with a woman, being a woman. It feels like the landlord being the landlord over the tenant and having that that upper hand, which I could, you know, again say was rather discriminating. I had mentioned this landlord once before on the show, and somebody heard, and I came back and said I had worked it through with him. Well, he pushed the button one time too many, and I tilted out, and I told him I wasn't moving in. 2 days before I was going to move in, I told him I was not moving in. I told him why. I told him how I felt about his behavior and his treatment of me. I found him a tenant, and I gifted him the floor, the $2,500 flooring that I'd put in, because I wasn't going to stand for that kind of behavior anymore. What you're talking about is your traditional discrimination, and I always take a look at things and ask, what is it that brought that experience into our lives? That's the way to look at things in my view. What is it that's going on inside of you? Because your feelings go out and bring experiences in. What is it that's going on inside of you that's causing you to bring that experience in? What happened for me is that I plummeted because I love that house. That was my dream house. And I gave it up. And have had nowhere to live. I'd rather be homeless than be treated so poorly. And that's exactly the choice that I opted for, was to not have a home. I plummeted into this grief, and I was so hurt and sad and feeling lost and scared and upside down. These are very rare feelings for me. I've got such a charmed life. And things are really taken care of for me. I love the work that I do. I've loved everything. I don't worry about things. And to be thrown into this turmoil, I felt like I was really in a blender. It was really, really hard. And I would wake up crying. The day after I told him I didn't want the place, I woke up and I literally had pain in my heart as if I had broken up with somebody. And as the days went by, it got worse and worse and worse. So I wasn't cleaning my house, you know, and I have somebody help me clean every other week. I wasn't cleaning my house. I wasn't putting garbage out. I wasn't taking care of anything. I had dirty clothes and dirty dishes everywhere. It was really something to go through. And I realized a few things. First of all, it dawned on me again that I, excuse me, exactly what it is that I'm talking about. I had brought this experience into my life from the way that I was feeling. The feelings that I was having are the reason I was going through the experience that I went through with him and the resulting experiences and feelings that I was going through. And it was horrible. And I realized that I was waking up in terror every day as a kid. I was waking up terrified every day as a child, and I had forgotten about it. I at one point was I would cry. People would see me in Briar Patch, or I would go in there, excuse me, to order something, and just start crying. I couldn't hold it. And little by little, I started to wonder exactly what had my dad done. You know, what did he do that was awful enough to make me feel this way? That was awful enough for me to pull in the experience that I had with that landlord. And the other thing I realized, I like my house clean. I remembered that when I was a kid, it was the family joke what a slob I was. I was a slob because of the way that I was feeling growing up. And I was the way I was feeling growing up is how I felt for the last couple of months. And it was really awful. So the bottom line with all of this is if you can kind of remember that your feelings are running everything, and to give yourself a little bit of a break if your life's not looking the way that you would like it to look, that's not happening for nothing. Did you have something to say?
I'll wait till you finish.
I'd love to hear you. I can feel you.
Well, you know, when you were talking about how when we were children and how this experience, I grew up in an era where the parents said children are seen and not heard. You don't get to speak your mind. You don't get to tell what you feel. You don't. And if you do, you're punished for it because you, as a child, you had no clout at all. I mean, you were just the kid and you had to listen to the adults and do whatever they said or you would be punished. And I'm thinking that that's how it's extended on when I was getting ready to go into the workforce and how I was told that I had to major in those things which women could do.
Mm.
Working in offices, working in, you know, maybe I should go and learn how to type because that would be better than going to college and doing all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even though women had won the right to vote, they were still looked upon as being less. And the same thing that you were talking about, you were, even though it wasn't a woman or race thing, you were meant to feel like you were less.
And that's the point that I'm making.
Yeah.
Is that broaden your horizon, because people get focused on the whole women's rights things and, you know, the racism and as you just said and I said a little earlier, which is all fine and good. I mean, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is that we're made to feel less than we are, and that's in so many different ways. If you go to work, there's a hierarchy at work. Generally speaking, you know, and my mom always used to say, everybody needs somebody to feel better than, you know, you always have somebody, everyone has to have someone to put down, which, you know, I think that that's, of course, a gross generalization, but I think that that's something that's true in many cases. Anyway, our number here again is 530-265-9555. 530-265-9555 if you'd like to call in. The other thing, did you have anything else to say?
No, go ahead.
The other thing I kind of wanted to talk about was what it's like finding a rental.
Oh, yeah.
Just as an aside, not only is there nowhere to rent, but if you do find something to rent, the prices are astronomical. And it's ridiculous. I've been here 11 years. And I have never seen anything like this before. And the prices go up and up and up. And it's price. I just feel gouged as a renter. And the landlords are just happily, you know, taking enough money to pay for a mortgage on a beautiful home, and putting it in their pocket and not taking into consideration that, you know, we're trying to live here. The other thing, too, I was talking to my landlord, who actually has been really wonderful, and I put $100,000 into that house already in rent, into a house that I would like to buy, and he knows that. And so we talked about it a little bit. He said, well, that was rent. I said, but you know that I would like to buy the house. And he said, well, that's not how it's done. So, you know, how are things done, folks? Why are we stuck in a certain way of looking at things and not allowing for things to kind of be to color outside the lines a little bit? I understand that everybody wants to make money, everybody has to live, and things are quite difficult for folks. But I just, the feeling that I got more than anything is that we just don't look out for each other anymore. And I don't understand that. I left that flooring at that place, that my dream home, to send a message to that landlord that it's not just about money, that there are people out there who aren't just focused on how much money they can get out of somebody else. Here's a gift. After you were so horrible to me, here's a gift. And no, I don't want any money back from it. I put quite a bit of money into that house. What do you think about all that, Pam? Or you folks out there?
I think that people are in the mindset a lot, not everybody, that it's all about them. They do not see beyond their own needs sometimes. And this is my opinion. This is just people that I have met in my life. And when you meet someone who's not feeling that way, it's a real blessing. But I do think that people have gotten, you use the word greedy, and I think people have gotten greedy in their lives. They want what they want, and they're not looking to see what is going to be okay for the next guy. And I don't know that, I'm not going to judge people and say that they're bad at this, but I'm just going to say whatever it was in their life that made them feel like that was more important, whatever happened to them as a child to make them feel that it's more important, that they're more important. Like your mother said, that everybody somewhere is always going to be less than you, and so you have to see yourself as that way. I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think it's beautiful that people have more than I do. I don't really want what they have, but I think it's wrong if they look down on people. I really do. I think that that is a very wrong thing to do.
Well, I think that it's a symptom of what's happening in our society.
Okay.
I have a feeling that we're being conditioned to think this way and not take care of each other and be divided so that we're easier to control. Because if we're divided and run by greed, or if greed or money is in the fore, then your humanity, your heart doesn't really count for much, which makes you possibly a bit easier to control if you just keep getting money or power or prestige position dangled in front of you, depending on how much money it is that you have. So, you know, it's just something to kind of take a look at. Let me just say this. The views expressed on this show, by the way, are those of the speakers only, and are not necessarily those of KVMR, our board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. Especially true when I've got my mouth on running in here, because I do have my ways of looking at things. I think that this is all part of the conditioning that we just need to take a look at. I'm not going to say that I think that the greed is wrong or bad, or the price gouging is wrong or bad. I think it's a condition, some conditioning that we have that we're not paying attention to. And I think that is what makes things difficult. You know, I hear people out there complaining about the government and how things are run. And these are the same people that are charging, you know, $3,000 a month for a rental. That's wake up. And, you know, they have to pay their mortgage, too. You know, I have a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of people who've come up from the Bay Area, come up from Los Angeles, who don't really know how low-key this town is and has been, and they're bringing those prices and the reality and even that speed and way of looking at life up here. And it's rather disheartening, but it'd be really great if they could get up here and realize that you can go a little slower, you can charge a little less and still live. Yet we have people running prices up and charging more to buy a home. Where's it going to go at the end of the day? Where is it going to go? Are we going to have a $10,000 studio in Nevada City? Is that a month? Is that what's going to happen? Or something's got to give. And I really feel that this is, I think people look at it and are alarmed by it. And then if you're in a position where you can make the money, then you'll make the money along with the rest of the landlords or the sellers or whomever. Because you have to live is the reasoning behind it. You have to live and the prices are high and this and that and the other thing. I don't know what to do about it. I just am bringing attention to it. I know that in my personal life, I'm going to be fine. I know that. And it kind of brings me to tears to feel that. I know I'm fine. But not everybody believes that. And this is the work that I'm doing is, I always say that the work I'm doing is taking people home. Because at the end of the day, we, at the risk of sounding kind of airy-fairy and zoomed out, which I am not, we're not who we think we are. And life doesn't work the way we think it does. It doesn't work the way we're taught it works. We have a lot more available to us. We are running our lives. We're just taught that we're not. And that, I think, is what's more important to realize than anything else. I saw there are a lot of homeless people around. There's a woman sitting out on the street. Well, in the street, basically. She was sitting on some steps. And I'd seen her around town before. And I saw her, and I walked over to her. And I gave her $20. I said, I know you're not asking for anything, but here's $20. You know, here's some money. And she looked at me in disbelief. Why is she looking at me just in disbelief? Because we don't take care of each other anymore. I started crying. I said, we have to look out for each other. We have to take care of each other. And that's the bottom line, is that you start with taking care of yourself. You start with getting real about who you are and what you can accomplish and what it is that you have going for you. That's where you start. And once you strengthen in that by, in my world, allowing yourself to be yourself. So if you're greedy, then let yourself feel the greed. Let yourself feel the part of you that doesn't want to be greedy. Okay? Let yourself feel, if you're resentful about it, feel the resentment. Feel the powerlessness that you might feel. I just thought about, I must have been out of my daggone mind giving up that place, but it's the best thing I ever did in my life. It's the best thing I've ever done. And that was the best. I put about $4,000 or $5,000 into that place and left it. Because I don't have to live that way. And that's the thing, is that we don't have to live that way. We're just conditioned to believe that we have to live that way. Anyway, do you have anything to say?
Just that I think that we need to like who we are. I think this is part of what makes people grab onto things like greed and all this kind of stuff, is they don't see themselves having the power to do it otherwise. And I think that this is something that people need to realize, like you said, is that we're really all fine as long as we see ourselves for the person that we really are.
Well, we're all fine if we don't see ourselves as what you're talking about is the ultimate goal. Okay, and the way that you get to the ultimate goal of seeing yourself for who it is that you really are is starting where you are right now. And that's, I don't have enough, or I won't have enough if I do X, Y, Z for that person over there. Let them take care of themselves. If you start there, I'm afraid that I'm going to starve, or I'm afraid that I won't be able to pay for this, that, or the other thing. So you find yourself holding tighter onto your money or to whatever. You start there. Start where you are. People think that making yourself feel something that you don't is going to make it better. That's not how it works, because you are who you are. You feel what you feel. And you don't need to be healed. You don't need to go to the mountain and meditate for, 5 or 6 hours to calm yourself down. On the contrary, I mean, with the people I work with, as the people I work with know, I just discourage meditating and You've done that. You've done that a million times over. And there are a lot of things that you've done a million times over if you've been working on yourself for a long time, which is all great and good. And then it's time to fine-tune, which is what I'm always talking about. So because I'm about the fine-tuning, sometimes you might need to do some things that I ask people not to do. Sometimes you need to do those to get to understanding that, wait a minute, I'm still hurting after meditating for 5 years or 10 years or 25 years. I'm still hurting after doing ayahuasca. I'm still hurting after taking the classes and the courses and the this and the that and the other thing. I'm still hurting. It hasn't healed, because at the end of the day, it's not about healing. We're not broken. We're not wounded. We are having an experience on a planet that's not solid. Our bodies can't move without us. We are behind the eyes. We're moving the body around. I know it sounds kind of woo, but I'm not woo. I'm not. So anyway, what else do you have to say, Pam?
Well, I think there's opportunities for people to see for themselves what they can accomplish without fear. I'm not totally there yet. I still have a lot of fear, and I know I've mentioned this before about what am I capable of doing. And that is, I think, what we need to realize is that everybody's capable of doing something, and it doesn't have to be like you were talking about, well, if I don't do this, I might starve. Well, nobody's going to starve, because there's always someone. Even though we may not see him, there's always someone out there that would help.
That comes through.
Right.
Yes, and that's a really good point. I've been, you know, I always feel that what it is that I'm doing is walking first, and then I take the people who can hear me along with me. So about, gosh, I guess it was 2009, and I've told this story before. It's been a while. When I first arrived here, I arrived here in 2008. In 2009, I started to do what it is that I do with people. And when I got here, I landed with a thud, with nothing, which was really unusual for me, because I've always had a really wonderful life. I landed here with nothing. I had been stripped of everything by them, which I call whatever grows the plants. All right. So little by little, I started to come back. You know, people discovered me and were able to see what it is that I do long before I understood what it was that I was doing. So they started to come and see me. And I was able to pay rent and do this and do that. Well, I kept getting, you know, from within myself, inside of myself, get what you need, get what you want. And I would have an argument. Well, what do you mean, get what I need, get what you need, get what you want? So I started doing that, and I kept getting, everything's going to be there. What you need is going to be there. You have your money. Don't worry about it. Like, okay, yeah, right, whatever. So I did that, get what you need, get what you want. So 1 month, I would start getting calls from people setting up appointments. This particular month, that happens. People called the first week and into the second week. Third week, nothing. I think it was halfway into the second week, the phone calls stopped, somewhere around there. Third week, nothing, no calls. And I said to the air, I thought you said you were going to take care of everything. I'm not getting any calls. And I just got the feeling, just take it easy. The very last week, boom, I got phone calls, and I was able to cover everything. And I got, this is to show you how to stay calm in a crisis. And I thought, oh, okay, well, okay. So months went by, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, about 6 months later, the same thing happened. First week's fine. Halfway into the second week, somewhere, something like that, the phone calls stop. And I'm like, oh my goodness, okay. This is yours. Okay, stay calm, because everything is, stay calm in a crisis. Okay, I'm calm in the crisis. I wasn't calm in the crisis. kept going. Third week, no calls. And then again, the same thing. Fourth week, the calls came in. And boom, everything is taken care of. This time I got, this is to teach you that there never is a crisis, that you're always fine. And in this situation with giving up my dream house and not knowing where I was going to live for a month, I forgot about that, which I needed to forget because it plummeted me into all that childhood trauma. That was really great for me to feel. You know, my whole philosophy is you feel your feelings. That's all of them. That's I'm scared, then I don't want to be scared, and I'm ashamed that I'm scared, whatever it is that you're going through. And I landed on my feet, shockingly. Somebody came forward and offered me $10,000, who will remain nameless, to help if I needed it. My landlord came forward, I feel like crying, understood what it was that I was being put through, and said, because he was about ready to sell the house that I'm in. He is ready, but he said, look, you need time to recover. Stay here as long as you want, and I am going to do what I can to buy the house. And then somebody else came forward who said, you know, I'm about to sell a bunch of property, and I'm going to have like $10 million. How can I help you? Folks, and I forgot to mention that somebody else came forward before any of this happened. Here's the chronology. I had started feeling strange about my home. I was tired of going home for about 2 months. I was feeling awful. I didn't want to go into my bedroom. I didn't want to go into my house. I was just feeling uneasy. 2 months that was going on, and then out of the clear blue sky, somebody came forward and said, I'm going to give you $15,000 in cash. Somebody awesome. And I was shocked. I didn't understand why I was getting that. 1 week later, I get a message, a text from my landlord saying, when can we bring a realtor in? Which, of course, threw me for a loop because they knew I wanted to buy the house, but they just collected rent. And then $100,000 later, they're going to sell the house out from under me. Then the third week, this miraculous third thing happened that allowed me to have a new place to move into. And I used that $15,000, a part of it, to put the floor in and to do some other things to prepare the house for me. I've got tears in my throat. So a friend told me a long time ago that he said specifically that I was not subject to the normal way of doing life. And I'm clear that nobody really is. It's just the way that you're conditioned to think that you are. You're conditioned to think that you can't do without this and you can't do without that. And it keeps us confused. And then we complain about the state of the world and the state of the country. But guess what? The way that you're feeling is bringing in the experience of you having difficulty in the country and in the world. The way that you feel is making your life look the way that it does. The way that we feel collectively is making the world look the way that we do, that it does. By making people feel bad about themselves, by making people doubt themselves, by making people afraid of everything, by making people greedy, by making people ignore other people, that all contributes to the condition of the earth. To the condition of the world, to the condition of your town, to the condition of your country. Now, that's a mouthful. It's like, we're not going to save the world, and I'm not really interested in saving the world. That's not my job. My job is to wake people up to the way things really are. And that's all I ever encourage, is for you to be who you are and pay attention to how you really feel about things. If you're feeling discriminated against, let yourself feel how it feels to feel discriminated against, because you're going to find something from your childhood, a situation from your childhood that made you feel that way back in the day. Do you have something to say?
Well, just in what you're talking about, the word came to my mind. We're made to believe that certain things are normal. And I don't like that word because I've been told so many times, well, that's what everybody else does. That's what the normal folks does. So you need to do that because that's what everybody else does. And I never agreed with that because I think, well, what if you don't fit into that so-called normal? Then if you go against who you are to become normal, then you're going to be having that experience of always feeling like you aren't who you're supposed to be.
So here's the deal. This is how I see things. This is, to me, this experience of life is a game. And you get to choose the way that you play this game. If you want to be part of the norm, part of the people who, one of the people who follows along and does what you're supposed to do and stays bound emotionally and financially and do life that way and follow the rules or whatever, that's fine. If you want to live a life where you're scared and you are powerless and helpless, and that's fine. I have no issue with any of that. That's how you're going to play the game this time around, if there is such a thing as this time around. And I know a lot of people believe that, and I'm not saying there's not a this time around. There could be other times. I don't know. My little brains don't know. But if you want to play the game in a different way, where you do have freedom, where you are understanding that you're running everything in your life, where you're not helpless, where it's not hopeless, where you are cared for. I really feel, you know, people talk about God and spirit and source and the universe and all that. I don't identify with that, but I do know that's what I always say. Something's growing those plants. I think that we're an aspect of that. And I think that that's part of what makes everything possible. It just depends on how you look at it. And it's very kind of woo-woo, but I think it's considered to be woo-woo to look at this life this way, because if the people who are playing the other game, you know, get wind that too many people are looking at life the way that I'm talking about, then they're going to be out of control of large groups of people. So they what's the word? Downplay this, defile it. They what's the word where you make something, they devalue what it is that I'm talking about and make it stupid and crazy and off the wall. But you know, I'm not stupid and I'm not crazy and I'm not off the wall. I'm seeing it in my own life. I see in my own life that by looking at life the way that I do, that I am pristinely cared for. And it's kind of shocking because in my teens and 20s, I would never have believed that life could be the way that I'm experiencing it today.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. It's already quarter of. We talked a lot. The views expressed on this show are those of the speaker and speakers only and are not necessarily those of KVMR, our board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. My name is Sienna Gold. This show is called Down to Earth. I'm here with my awesome buddy and partner in crime, Pam Davis. And the mystery engineer. The show airs once a month, every third Monday of the month at noon after the news. Whoa.
Yeah, I was thinking more about the fact that I've never felt normal. I've never felt like I could, but so many people throughout my life have said to me, well, nobody else does it that way. Nobody else thinks like that. To make you feel like something's wrong with you because you're thinking outside the box.
Right.
And I that's type of discrimination for people to tell you, well, you couldn't possibly do that because nobody else does it that way.
Right.
And I think that it's important for people to realize that they don't have to do that if they don't want to. I agree with you that if that makes you comfortable in your life to be part of the group that does everything according to the normal rules, that's fine. I don't think anybody should be forced to be anything that they're not. But I do think that people ought to look deeper within themselves. And like you proposed, go back to where you were a child and try to find out why you think that way.
Or feel that way. And I really do feel that it all comes from childhood. I've got a client that I work with who is, he's done everything. He's done a tremendous amount of work on himself. And he said, you know, every time, no matter what it is that I talk to you about, Sienna, it always goes back to my childhood. It always goes back there, and it does. That's how you're trained to be who it is that you are. After having gone through what I went through for these last couple of months, I mean, I'm drained. I feel I'm so exhausted. I'm tired this minute. I'm in a state of exhaustion. When I went through that and realized, holy mackerel, this is not okay. It's scary. And it was involuntary. I was not sitting and, oh, I'm going to feel my feelings now. No. I woke up crying, like I said. I just had no control over any of it. That's what I experienced as a child, where you have no control over your environment. You're being treated as if you are less because you're small, and the big people are riding roughshod over you. That's what I know I experienced, and I experienced it today in the last few months. And it is not, it was really, really hard today as a kid. There's just no way you can handle it. I know that I couldn't as a child handle what I was put through. I know I've had the experience of realizing that some time before, and it has winded me. And just think that all the things that you have gone through as a child, people out there listening, that you buried, all that's still living in there. And those feelings are bringing experiences into your life left and right. They're making you feel like you're less than you are. They're making you believe that you can't do this, that, or the other thing. They're making your life be less than what it could be. They're making you believe that this is all you can have. And none of that is true. There's a whole other system, if you will, available to us that we are not allowed to, we're conditioned not to believe in. By the way, again, my name is Sienna Gold. You can reach me at 530-477-8008. You can also go to kvmr.org. And our shows are archived. Been on for about 8 years now, something like that, maybe. And there are about 2 years worth of shows that didn't make it into the archives, but there's a lot. I talk about how it is that I look at life. Down to Earth, again, is the name of the show. You can also go to my website, feelslikegold.com. F is in Frank, E-E-L-S as in Sam. likegold.com. My website is grossly outdated. Please ignore most of the stuff that you see on there, but at least you can get some information, a little bit of information about what's going on. Gosh, this went quickly. Anything else that you have to say?
Well, I just think that when I look back at my childhood, which for me was a long time ago, I can see patterns that make me realize that I'm doing what was affected by my childhood. I can feel that. One of the things, you know, when I'm excited about something, I really like to talk. And I have certain friends that tell me I need to listen more and talk less. Well, I think about that. Why do I like to talk so much? And it's because as a child, I wasn't allowed to.
Mm.
I was told, you know, when I would start talking about something, you need to be quiet and go to your room.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be able to say, well, this is what I think, Mom. No, you're too young. This is an adult thing.
Right.
And so now I find that if I get an opportunity, I got a lot to say because I couldn't say anything back then. So I think that it's important for people to kind of look at the things that are, like you say, that are going on in their life and see if they can remember.
Right. Or just feel.
Just feel it.
This is that is a really good point because you all of us have personality traits that we're not really sure about. Not sure why I behave that way.
Right.
I don't like the way I behave. And you can, again, I behave this way and I don't like the way that I behave. Those are of equal value. You are who you are. You feel what you feel. And if you just start allowing that, not fixing, not healing, not embracing and loving, because you don't, not getting rid of, forgiving, you know, if you just allow, not even accepting, you allow yourself to feel how you feel, that gets you in touch with who it is that you are. And that's really profound. There's something really amazing when that happens. And it also gets all of your parts composted. I call it composting. People call it integrating. But then they all come together and they're working together. How are we doing on time over there? Well, we're good.
All right. So, you know, you and I were talking the other day, too, about why I hate change so much.
Yeah.
And again, that goes, I figured out it goes back to my childhood, that my parents, the first 10 years of their marriage, we moved 18 times. There was no time to become adjusted to anything because I was always afraid it was going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I fought with that in my adult life. I don't want to change. I don't like change. Don't make me change, right? But now I realize, of course, change has many opportunities, and we should always, in my opinion, be open to those opportunities of change. But it took me a long time to get over my anger about being forced to change.
To get into your anger.
To get into my anger.
Remember.
Yes.
Your anger is fine.
My anger is fine, yes.
And the parts of you that don't like the anger are fine, too.
Well, you know, I don't mind getting angry now. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to think be ashamed.
Right.
You know, all those things we were conditioned to believe that you were not supposed to do.
Right.
Now I'm getting a little bit better about doing those and not worrying since you and I have been friends. If I feel angry, I'm going to get angry.
Right. There are two things I want to say before we run out of time. I realized that this landlord who was so mean to me, he was mean several times, and we'd talk it through and get back to me for being friends, and then he would say something mean and we would talk it through, and because I was having to stand up for myself a number of times, but every time he was demeaning, I felt degraded and I felt really bad about myself. This last time, it was just, again, the tilt, but I realized that that's how my dad treated me.
Yeah.
My dad treated me that way, and then everything would be great for a little while, and then he'd, you know, take a dump on me again, and then everything would be great, and then he would dump on me again, even just thinking about it is making me tired. So it happened. And there's a part of me that just couldn't take it anymore. But I still am very much aware of the part that doesn't know anything else but being treated badly. Remember that. Lastly, there's a movie called They Live. I saw it on HBO or one of those channels recently. They Live. It's out of the 80s. And it's one of those, you know, not super well produced, but the message is pretty incredible. You might want to check it out. I think we're about done. My name is Sienna Gold. This show is called Down to Earth. We're on every third Monday of the month at 12 noon, 12:06 usually after the news. I'm here with my partner in crime, Pam Davis. Thank you so much for being here, Pam.
Always love it.
Yeah. And thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Take care.